The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable Christmas Show, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, I can't remember the last time I've seen a football team as inconsistent as this Eagles team. I mean, I didn't expect them to beat Arizona on Sunday night, but I did expect them to compete.
Yeah, Bill, I hear you. I mean, they did compete for a half, maybe a little into the third quarter, but then the mistakes caught up with them, and Arizona's talent took over. And as a result, it was a third 40-point game by an Eagles opponent, three out of the last five now. And the Birds are 6-8 and fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah, and we'll get to it a little bit later when we get our guest on, but we need to talk about field goal or going for it on fourth down. We need to have a talk about that. But hey,
right.
There's two games. They're down to two games, both must wins, the Redskins and the Giants. And let me tell you, the Redskins game is going to be a challenge.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, they're a good team. Like the Cardinals, they have lots of weapons, including a big running back and a certain wide receiver who used to be an Eagle who would love to get a little more revenge, just like he did last December when the Skins officially eliminated the Eagles.
Yep, and that's always a great matchup because he certainly comes to play against them. But and we'll get into that a lot more later on as well. But, hey, early in the year, September 9th to be exact, leading up to game one of the season, we had Bleeding Green Nation editor-in-chief Brandon Lee Galton with us for his early season Eagles perspective and his predictions and all that. And here we are 3.5 months later. I don't think anybody thought we'd be sitting in this position, but we're going to have Brandon back with us tonight. And there's so many storylines in the middle of this soap opera that Bleeding Green Nation has been on top of, and I can't wait to hear what Brandon has to say.
Yeah, me as well. So let's do it.
Brandon, welcome back to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Definitely don't go back and don't listen to that show I was on before. And don't listen to anything I said back then.
Brandon, I'm sorry about that, but I did listen to it again last night because
I wanted
to see exactly what you said and what I said. And first of all, thank you for making a return to our show. And, yeah, forgive me for mentioning it, but when you joined us for our season preview show in early September, and you weren't the only one who guessed wrong about this. You predicted an 11-5 Eagles season and a trip to the NFC Championship game. And I was right there with you. Bill said 9-7 or 10-6 in a division title. He was a little less optimistic. Of course, none of us is looking real smart right now. Now, there's a long list of problems, but in your opinion, what is the biggest reason or the biggest couple of reasons that the season hasn't gone so well?
Well, to me, you know, it started in the offseason. I think there are a lot of talent issues on this team. You know, I think you look back at Chip Kelly, the general manager, and I don't think he did really a good enough job of preparing this team with talent. I think some of the decisions he made to get rid of players such as LeSean McCoy and Evan Mathis and things like that, I don't think he was so wrong in doing that as much as he was wrong in not really being able to replace those players. Again, you know, like a guy like Jeremy Maclin, who they let walk, offered him money, but they didn't want to pay him too much. They weren't really able to kind of replace his production. And you look at moves like that, not just that one, but moves like that, and I think that's hurt them a lot.
Hey, before we continue, what is the latest on the injury front in terms of Benny Logan, Byron Maxwell, and Eric Rowe for Saturday?
Well, Eric Rowe returned to practice on Wednesday, so that's good news. It sounds like he's going to play. He was a full participant in practice. He was cleared from his concussion testing, so that's definitely a good sign. But with Logan and Maxwell, it sounds like those guys are going to be out. Logan told his teammates, apparently, that you know he's going to miss at least a couple weeks, and really that's potentially the rest of the Eagles season. And then with Maxwell, obviously suffering some kind of upper body, shoulder, chest injury, in the Cardinals game. He tried to go back in the game, but it just didn't really work out for him. So it sounds like he's going to be out this week, especially, you know, because this is a short week with the game on Saturday, so it's really going to be hard for those guys to try to tough it up and try to go for this week.
Hey, Brandon, back when you were on the last time, you know, the only we had a great conversation. I'll cover just about everything, but the only thing you said in that show, and I too went back and listened, so I hate to say that, but hey, I had to prepare for the show. But hey, you know, one of the things you thought about back then was the guard position, and you know, you kind of had that down on your list of importance, and boy, it didn't take long once the regular season came along to find out that offensive line was not anything like what we were thinking it might be.
Yeah, that's a position they definitely need to address. And I think, you know, I think the guards were serviceable at times. I think some of the bigger disappointments with the offensive line, especially relative to expectations of how the guards were going to play and everything, you know, we obviously didn't expect a Pro Bowl year from those guys. But I think what we expected was, you know, the guys on the outside, Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, and the guy on the inside, Jason Kelce, to be the Pro Bowl players they were, and they really weren't. You know, Jason Peters has been hurt, and he's kind of been declining with age. He's not the same player that he was in his top form. Lane Johnson has been battling with injuries all year, and he's had to shift between right tackle and left tackle a lot. And Jason Kelce has been playing through injury, and you can really tell because he has struggled more than really ever before, and, you know, who would have seen that coming? So for as much as, you know, as much blame we want to put on the guards here, I think, you know, I was counting on, you know, those guys to be good, and I thought the guards could, you know, play well enough between them. But, you know, when all those other guys are playing poorly too, I mean, then there's just no way that you can really expect to get by with those guards.
Well, you know, back in that earlier show, we had a long discussion about DeMarco Murray, and you were skeptical due to the workload in Dallas, and as was I. And boy, that sure hasn't worked out. And looks like it's a miserable signing. It looks like, and he looks like a square peg trying to find a round hole. And you know, now to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he probably hasn't had a hole to run through most of the season, but boy, this is looking like a train wreck right now.
It is. It's looking like a really bad deal. And even if the blocking is there at times, I still think he just looks so slow when he's out there in the field. He just looks like a player who's not explosive. He doesn't have that kind of, you know, you compare it to other Eagles running backs, you know, you just look at Kenyon Barner even, or Ryan Matthews, and it's just not quite the same. Murray just doesn't look like the same guy, especially not the same guy he was in Dallas last year. And it's really gotten really ugly with him reportedly talking to Jeff Lurie and complaining about his role. And now Murray's essentially being benched. He only had two carries the other night, and he only got 3 yards on those two carries. It's a really ugly situation. In hindsight, we probably should have seen it coming more. And this goes back to what I was saying at the top of the show where, you know, they needed to do a better job of replacing LeSean McCoy, and you didn't really need to spend $40 million on DeMarco Murray. You could have drafted a running back. There's guys in free agency. I think D'Angelo Williams, you know, the Steelers got him for like 2 years, $4 million total. You know, there's the running back is a position where you can probably not have to pay top dollar at to get, you know, serviceable production.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was at that Dallas game, you know, early in the year, and I was sitting with my buddies and I'm texting with my friends, and I was like, you know what? DeMarco Murray looks so slow and so unaggressive, and that was all the way back early in the season. And, you know, and then, of course, we didn't block Sean Lee the entire game, which made it look, you know, like it was the line's fault. But Murray just looked so slow on his feet all the way back at the beginning of the season to me.
Yeah, and it's really just a huge issue because, you know, you spent all of that money in him. It's $40 million, and if you try to cut him after this year, you know, it's not really feasible because then it's $13 million in dead money. I mean, they really could do it if they really wanted him gone, but, you know, are you really willing to say it was that big of a mistake after 1 year? I mean, they might have to because, you know, if he's going to be an issue in the locker room or he's going to complain, you know, what do you do with him? It's hard to keep him around, but at the same time, the money makes it harder to cut him. And then maybe the Eagles are really just hoping that, you know, or they're thinking, all right, this year it's clearly, you know, not working out. He was coming off of that big workload, maybe heading into next season and not coming off of the big workload next season, you know, maybe he'll be able to bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out with DeMarco Murray. Now, the other ongoing saga, of course, is that of quarterback Sam Bradford. He's played poorly at times, fairly well at times. He's gotten better in recent weeks, taken a lot of hits, but he's gotten up and carried on, other than when the Dolphins knocked him out for 2.5 games. What is your view on Bradford and his future?
Well, I think he's made improvement over the season. I think we've seen that, you know, obviously not so great at the beginning of the season. He's had some good games in recent weeks. I really was encouraged by the Buffalo game. I thought he threw a lot of accurate passes in that one. He made some really nice throws in the Arizona game. The turnovers were an issue, though, and that's obviously not great. I still don't think he's enough to really be your franchise quarterback. He just doesn't – I'm not seeing that kind of level where, you know, you're contending for a championship with him. I just don't think he's that guy. You know, for as much as we want to talk about how he hasn't had the best offensive line or the best running game or the best wide receivers, you know, they're the best quarterbacks in the game, and it's hard to get these guys, but, you know, the best guys in the game, year in, year out, you know, they're not making excuses like that. They're able to do more with less, and I don't think Bradford is a guy who can do more with less. We saw that in St. Louis, and now we're seeing it here. So as far as his future goes, I don't think – you know, he's clearly not the franchise guy to me, but at the same time, he might be the Eagles' best option moving forward. So, you know, in an ideal world, you would be able to try to keep him beyond this season, but at the same time, you really don't want to commit a huge amount of money, a huge contract to him.
Yeah, and that's going to be a major problem, I think. They're not going to franchise him. That would be $23, $24 million. I don't think they would do that. But on the other hand, he's going to want a long-term contract with a pretty good amount of money, I would think, $15 to $18 million a year at least. And that's overpaying for the guy. But if you want to keep him, I guess you have to do that. So, boy, what do you think is going to happen? Are they going to re-sign him, or are they going to let him walk and try to get a Kaepernick or somebody like that?
Well, I think Chip Kelly, he even said it in his press conference. He said that, you know, we wouldn't have traded for Sam if we only were having him here for 1 year. So I think, and then he went on to talk about how, you know, Carson Palmer, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, those are all guys who have been in their systems that they've been in for more than one season, way before more than one season, a couple seasons at least. So I think, you know, Chip is looking at Bradford as some kind of, maybe not necessarily long-term in the sense of like a six-year deal. He's the franchise quarterback, but definitely a deal that goes beyond this year. It's interesting, though, because, you know, maybe Sam Bradford doesn't want to come back. You know, I don't have any inside information on that, but he kind of had those comments I think he made in the media last week that kind of, they're kind of a lukewarm reception, kind of like, you know, well, does this guy really want to come back? I think those are a little overblown because Bradford has really nothing to gain by saying he wants to come back. You know, I think he has all the leverage, and he shouldn't say he wants to come back at all. But, you know, it's an interesting situation because maybe we can't assume he wants to come back, and that's going to put the Eagles in a tough spot because, you know, the free agent quarterback market is always weak and there's going to be a lot of competitors. So it's going to put the Eagles in a spot where they're, again, Sam Bradford, I don't think is going to be cheap.
Hey, Brandon, switching over to the defensive side, and I know this was Chet's, one of his really high points, and I think you were kind of high on him too. Me, again, not quite so much, but the front seven, to me, has probably been as big a disappointment. Well, I don't know. There's a bunch of disappointments. It's been a huge disappointment, and you know, maybe it's because of injuries or whatever, but those inside linebackers have just been awful.
Yeah, the defense is really weird because they were playing so well for the better half of the first half of the season, and they're really the big reason why this team was winning games. I mean, you look at the offense, and offense has been a lot more bad than it has been good this season, and even the special teams hasn't been nearly as good as it was last season. So defense was really how this team was winning games a lot of the times, forcing turnovers and things of that nature. But it's weird how they've fallen apart at times. I mean, just it's incredible how they went from being so good to so bad, especially with those Buccaneers and Lions teams. You know, it was really just kind of shocking, at least a little to me, to see them go from being I think, easily a top 10 unit to like a bottom 5 unit that quickly. You know, you look at injuries, they've definitely contributed. Benny Logan, he's been playing hurt, and he just hasn't been the same impact player, especially against the run, as he was when he was healthy. You know, losing Jordan Hicks was big. Things like that, you know, just start to pile up. And then again, we always talk about how much the offense likes to play fast and things like that. Well, that takes a toll on the defense because they're playing so many more snaps than a lot of defenses are used to playing because, the offense is running at such a high tempo. And if they're not getting first downs, the defense is out there in the field, and other teams are getting a lot of offensive reps against them. So I think that's another huge factor is just that, you know, for the third season now, you know, the Eagles' defense is playing a lot more snaps than other defenses are playing in the NFL, and I don't think it's unreasonable to say, you know, fatigue could be a factor there over the long term.
As Bill alluded to, there were lots of disappointments this year, so let me follow up on that by taking this approach. Give me your top three disappointments among Eagles players this year, Brandon, and then I'll give you mine.
Okay, player-wise,
yep.
Well, I would say Chip Kelly, if we're not saying players, but if we're going player-wise, I would say Nelson Agholor, number one, because, you know, that's your first-round pick. And for the second year in a row, the Eagles have a first-round pick who's really not giving them much. You know, obviously Marcus Smith not doing much last year or this year. So Agholor looked really good, I think, in spring training camp or spring practices and all that. Looked okay in training camp. I thought he flashed. Definitely not as bad as he has this season. I think he's like dead last rated by Pro Football Focus this season, which you can take it for what it's worth. But still, I mean, just clearly not been a good player this season. Drops are an issue. Other disappointing players, you know, DeMarco Murray, definitely up there. I mean, he got that big contract, and I think we were all, you know, kind of a little bit concerned with the workload and everything, but I still thought he would be able to at least be some kind of average player, and he hasn't even been that. He's just been terrible. Like you said, he just looks slow, and now he's your third-string running back. So for that to happen, I mean, that's obviously a big disappointment. And then, you know, maybe Jason Kelce, number three. Like I said earlier in the show, the offensive line, you know, you expect, we all had question marks about the guards, but you expected your guys who are good players, and Jason Kelce we know is a good player. He's been to the Pro Bowl a couple of times. For him to just fall off the map like that, it's just, you know, it's really hard when you have players who are supposed to be good not play well.
All right, I'm going to give you mine. For number three, I just put these two guys together, Josh Huff and Nelson Agholor. I expected a whole lot more out of both of those guys. Number two, I'm saying DeMarco Murray, of course. And number one, a guy you didn't mention, but I know that you're not happy with him either. That would be Kiko Alonso. I mean, he's been pretty invisible much of the year. I know he was hurt for a while, but he's been a big disappointment for me.
No, that's a good one, too. That's definitely up there. It's really weird how Alonso just, you know, he was such a good player in Buffalo. He really was. I mean, even, you know, I talked to a bunch of Bills fans, and they love the guy. I mean, they couldn't get enough of him. And you look at the stats, incredible. I think he had 6 interceptions or so. He was forcing fumbles. He was doing everything, and he just clearly isn't the same player anymore, at least after the injuries.
Now, other than Jordan Hicks, whom they've really missed since he got hurt, any positive surprises on this team this year?
I think, you know, you look at the upward trend of Fletcher Cox. I mean, obviously, to Eagles fans, you know, he's no surprise to them. But I think, you know, he's such a dominant player. And I think we almost take that for granted at times because he's just so good. And he's only 25, and he's probably going to be here for a long time, and he's going to be a very good player for a long time. You know, I think that's been great. I think Benny Logan, you know, I've always been high on Benny Logan, but I think he's starting to get a lot of the recognition he deserves, at least when he was healthy. You know, big impactful player against the run. Guys like that, I think, you know, Malcolm Jenkins probably doesn't get enough credit. He didn't get named to the Pro Bowl, and I think he's had a great season. And especially last year, he started hot and kind of faded down the stretch. So there are some bright spots here, and it's not all bad, but probably a lot more bad than good this season.
Hey, Brandon, you started out by when you said about disappointments, and you started out with Kelly before you switched over to players, which was what Chad asked you. What are you disappointed in? Chip Kelly, the GM, Chip Kelly, the coach, or just Chip Kelly, period?
Well, it's probably Chip Kelly, period. It's really hard to even separate them because, you know, they, let's face it, you know, they're the same guy. And it's really hard for me to think that they could really get rid of one and keep the other. You know, I don't think it's as simple as being like, all right, well, we're going to take Chip Kelly's GM power away. I mean, I don't think he would want to be the coach still if they did that. So, you know, they're the same person. But I think, you know, the GM has set up Chip Kelly, the GM has set up Chip Kelly, the coach, to fail. I think you look at a lot of the moves and they weren't great. But even, you know, people want to talk about how Chip has still been good as a coach. And like I said, maybe taking the GM powers away could fix things. You know, I don't know about that either. I mean, just looking at that 4th-and-1 call against the Cardinals the other night, I think that showed a lot of issues with Chip Kelly, the coach, right now. Not going for it. I think going for it was the right decision. The Eagles were down 7 points, and they were in the red zone there, and they could have tied the game, maybe if they get that conversion. But he picked the wrong player, I think. You know, DeMarco Murray, 16 for 16 on 3rd and 4th and short situations, where Ryan Matthews was only 3-8. The predictability was an issue. Cardinals called a timeout and adjusted to what the Eagles showed them, and the Eagles just ran the same play anyway, according to Lane Johnson. And really just, you know, a lack of creativity, too. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of, I don't want to say trick plays, but just not a lot of things where, you know, the Eagles are having success on offense and not a lot of freshness and just not a lot of success. And, you know, for Chip Kelly to be hired as this guy who was supposed to be, you know, bringing in a new offense to the NFL and a good offense, you know, a lot of the Eagles' success has been based on defense, and, you know, that's not Chip Kelly's area. So for the Eagles to be succeeding, it's almost been in spite of him.
All right, Brandon, a true must-win game Saturday night. Redskins-Eagles at the link with the Birds needing the victory to keep their division title hopes alive. The Redskins, like the Cardinals, have lots of weapons. They have a quarterback who's playing really well now in Kirk Cousins, but they're not a great road team. So how is this one going to play out, do you think?
Not a good road team at all. They're 2-12 in their last 14. They've been outscored by a lot. I think they're just – it's weird to me because, you know, you look at a team like that and you wonder why they play so bad on the road. I don't think I have a real answer for that. But I think you look at the Eagles, and as you guys said at the top of the show here, it's hard to even know what to expect on a week-to-week basis. They're such a high-variance team, which kind of works in their favor at sometimes. I think that's, you know, how they can beat the Patriots, but it's also how they can lose some of these games they probably, you would think they should win. And at this point, it's really hard, I think, to feel good about the Eagles, especially the defense. You know, it's clearly weakened, and they're going to be missing Maxwell. They're going to be missing Logan. So they're down some key starters against this Washington offense that's playing well. You know, I don't feel great about the Eagles' chances. I think, and then even the offense too, you know, I think for as much progress as Bradford has made and everything, I just don't know if it's going to be really enough to get the job done. So I kind of like Washington to win this one.
Well, I have to agree with you. I just don't see how the Eagles defense, with even at full strength, has any way of stopping these wide receivers and you know, it seems like when they can't stop good wide receivers, then all of a sudden they can't stop the run like they couldn't this week and they couldn't against Tampa Bay. And Kirk Cousins is playing well. He's really coming into his own, completing almost 70% of his passes.
Yeah, it's really incredible how Cousins has, you know, gone from a guy who has been on the bench and then even gotten benched by Washington over the past couple of years to a guy who's playing really well. And you know, they're talking about extending him as their franchise quarterback, and maybe that's not so good for them. Maybe that's kind of a Nick Foles situation where, you know, he's having one good year, and maybe he's going to be able to cash in on that, and maybe that's a mistake, but maybe not. You know, maybe this just is, you know, Cousins really playing well, and that's something that Washington could build on.
Well, and you know, obviously Mike Shanahan, when he took Kirk Cousins along with Robert Griffin, He obviously liked him, or he wouldn't have picked him when Griffin was the plum coming out in that draft. So, you know, there's another coach that was involved down there that obviously liked Cousins and saw something in him. So, and he was a good quarterback at Michigan State as well.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Brandon, I'm not going to put you through another episode of 10 and 5, not this time anyway, but let me do a mini version of that before we let you go. So in honor of the Eagles offense, I'm going to call this 3 and out in about a minute.
Okay.
Three quick questions for you. We talked about, you know, Chip's inability to be a general manager so far. He's had a tough year as a coach, too. Is there any chance, maybe the Eagles lose the last two games, is there any chance Chip Kelly is not back next year?
The only way I don't think he would be back is either if he leaves or somehow there's the trade. They've talked about that, the possibility of the Titans wanting him. I don't really think that's realistic, but I think those are the only two situations where he wouldn't be back. I don't think he gets fired.
All right. A lot of contenders, especially in the NFC. What is the most likely Super Bowl matchup this year?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I really like Seattle, believe it or not. I know Carolina is undefeated, but I think Seattle has really gotten hot and turned the corner here. Cardinals are also right up there as well. But I'm looking at, I think, like a Seattle-Patriots rematch. Why not?
And I'm sorry to, again, reference your September 9th visit on our show about this one, but I asked you about the 76ers back in September. We
yep.
both had them winning 25 or 26 games this season. Would you care to revise that prediction?
Yeah, I'll say 10. I think I'll bring it down to 10.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brandon. Bill, anything else for Brandon?
Hey, Brandon. Yeah, Brandon, I wanted to ask you. You just put out an article a little bit ago about Fletcher Cox guaranteeing victory. Is that just because that's what he had to say, or is your feel that the Eagles are really feeling like they got a chance to win this game?
Well, it's weird because, you know, right after the Cardinals game, Michael Kendricks said that Washington has something coming to them, which, you know,
yeah.
I think is really poorly placed timing. I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, it's fine that you're confident. That's great. But it's really not great to say that after you just got blown out at home. I mean, no one wants to hear that. So maybe the players do think that. And I think they're going to be up for this game, I would imagine. I mean, it's a division rival. They know what's on the line. They know this is their season. But I just don't think effort is going to be an issue. And I don't think it has been. Like, when we looked at that Cardinals game, I think the Cardinals were just a better team. I don't think it was so much the Eagles, you know, weren't trying or anything. So I think the effort will be there, but I just don't think the talent overall is. And I think, you know, just Washington is going to be the better team this Saturday.
All right, Brandon. Well, hey, you know, you do a great job with your Bleeding Green Nation. Why don't you take a minute and let the listeners know how they can access that and how they can get a hold of you and all that.
Well, thanks. And, yes, you can read me at bleedinggreennation.com. You can check out our podcast at BGN Radio. You can like BGN on Facebook, our Facebook page. You can also check us out on Twitter. That's at Bleeding Green. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gowton. That's BRANDONGOWTON.
Thank you, Brandon.
Very good.
Thanks for having
me. All right, Brandon. Well, we appreciate your time. And, you know, once the season ends, we get towards the draft, maybe we'll get back up with you and get you back on with us.
Sure thing. Take care, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Brandon. Appreciate it. Okay, Chet. What'd you think? Anything catch you?
A lot of good insight from Brandon. I'm not surprised that he thinks the Skins are going to win. Logically, they look like they're the better team right now, despite their troubles on the road. It's going to be interesting Saturday night. We're going to get to our predictions in the second half of our show.
Yes, we will. And, you know, good stuff. And Brandon is right on top of it. He does a great job. And I know you follow his writings, as do I. And
yep.
Always well-informed and always right on top of things.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, hey, let's get our trivia question in. We're just about right on schedule. Let's get that in here. And, Chet, you're going to have to work a little bit tonight. We're not just going to give away this signed 8x10 color photo of the Hound and the Hammer, Bob Kelly and Dave Schultz, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that calls in and correctly answers this trivia question. Our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question, 929-477-2855. Like I said, Chet, going to have to work at this one. So if this is on speed dial, he might have to Google first, I'm thinking. All right, here we go. In 2015, Sam Bradford has thrown the ball 40 or more times a game, four times. Okay, 40 times, or four times he's thrown the ball more than 40 times. How many games have the Eagles won where Sam has had to throw the ball 40-plus times.
Can I give a hint?
You got that?
I'm going to give a hint. The answer is either it's either 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4, okay?
There you go. There you go.
Well,
you
got a 1 in 5,
you must be feeling the Christmas spirit to give away a hint like
yes,
okay,
indeed.
Well, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.ShopForKisses.org's website, become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. And, Chad, I can tell you all the Christmas shopping from the Furman House was done right through the website. So there will be some cash back coming into my pot.
Very nice.
Very nice. That's the way you got to do it. If they want to give you money back, you got to take it. That's the way I look at it. And you
sure.
and you get to help out others. All right. Well, hey, Chet, it's almost January and time for you to actually get interested in watching Flyers hockey. So in case you haven't heard, I got some information for you. They have a young defenseman named Shane Gostisbehere. They call him Ghost, and he's pretty good. You know, the Flyers are on an 8-2-2 run, and they've moved into the playoff hunt. And Claude Giroux's playing well. The goaltenders are playing pretty well. Welcome to Flyers hockey 2015-16, my friend.
Well, Bill, you'll remember back in late October, I said my biggest concern was a lack of firepower, a lack of scoring. I was worried they'd have to win a lot of games, you know, 2-1 or whatever. And that was an issue early on in the season. But over the last month, pretty much since young Mr. Gostisbehere got the call-up to the big club, they've been scoring more. Since his promotion, which came on November 14th, the Flyers are 10-4-4. And in those 10 wins, they've scored 3 or 4 goals 9 times. Jake Voracek, Sean Couturier, and Wayne Simmonds have all picked it up big time. And they're definitely a team that's more fun to watch now and a more dangerous team for any opponent. So, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing. And as I mentioned last week, I have actually been watching them once in a while because they're fun to watch. What am I going to do, watch the Sixers?
Well, we're going to get to that a little bit too, but you know, it's interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how this all works its way out. As you said, guys are starting to play a little bit better. You know, Jake Voracek's starting to come around a little bit. Michael Raffel got a couple goals. As I said, Giroux has played well all along, and Gostisbehere's been the trigger here to make this all go, and it's kind of going to be fun to watch as he's going to play, obviously, more games than he's ever played in his career in a season, to see as the pounding of the season goes on, if he can hang in there and continue to be as good as he is out of the chute here.
Yeah, and the other thing to keep an eye on, of course, is the goaltender situation. Neuvirth was getting a lot of playing time, but Mason's been getting back in there occasionally and playing pretty well, so are they going to keep using both guys a fairly equal amount, or is one guy going to take charge going down the stretch? We shall see, but that's going to be an interesting situation to watch because normally you don't use two goalies come playoff time, so we'll see what Dave Haxtell has in mind.
Yeah, and, you know, we're only 34 games in. We're not, you know, not even to the halfway point yet. And
right.
So I understand the rotation, but I think if he wanted to make a move early, it would have been to Neuvirth. He's got a 2.06 goals against average, and he's played extremely well. Mason hasn't played all that bad, but Neuvirth has definitely been better than him at this point. So, but I think it's going to play itself out over in the next 35 games before they start finalizing things, and hopefully going into the playoffs.
Yeah, long way to go, so anything could happen there. And, you know, guys could get into slumps and other guys could start playing well, just like we've seen recently with Voracek and Simmonds and those guys. So it's a long season. There'll be ups and downs. And, you know, we'll talk more come March.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be interesting, too, to see if they're going to make any moves. You know, you still have that Vinny LeCavalier contract looming around. He's only played in 7 games this year, and Umberger, you know, he's got 19 games, and you know, we said this before the season even started. Out with the old and in with the new, because we were so far down. Let's go. Let's get it started. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they're able to make any moves or decide to just cut bait with some of these guys and bring these young guys in and let them play every day.
Yeah, and I think they're going to stick around, you know, the bottom of the playoff race, right around that seventh or eighth seed, get one of the wild card slots. And who knows? You know, maybe they can do some damage if they get hot at the right time, come March and April. It's a long season, as we noted. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to throw out there at you is, you know, Wayne Simmons in 34 games, he already has 82 penalty minutes, and he's now the enforcer on this team. And you know, Simmons can be a goal scorer, needs to be a goal scorer for them to be successful. And he's the guy that seems to be coming to the rescue to be the fighter that they, you know, they need every so often, like when the cheap shot got thrown on Voracek the other night, and Simmons was the one that came to the rescue. They don't have those guys anymore, but you don't want a guy that's a, you know, possibly a 25-30 goal scorer you're expecting to be in the box for 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, I mean, like most teams, you don't have a Fedoric or a Berube or, you know, one of those guys who just goes out there to cause some trouble. You just can't afford that anymore, and there's just not as much fighting in the game anymore. So Simmons is a guy who will step in there when he has to, but like you said, you don't want to lose him on the ice because he can score goals, and he's also, you know, pretty effective on the power play. So you do want to keep Simmons out on the ice as much as he possibly can.
All right. Well, hey, let's move over right quick and talk about the Sixers. And, you know, they made some administrative changes with the addition of Jerry Colangelo. We talked about that a little bit last week. And now the hiring of Mike D'Antoni as the assistant head coach. But, you know, unless these guys can play, this thing is getting really ugly. And let me run this by you. They were 0-2 in October. They ran the table going 0-16 in November. Then they won their first game in December before losing the next 11. So they're 1-29 with four more road games left before the new year. And while we're at it, the 1-29 start is the NBA's worst record through the first 30 games. And it's the league's eighth of that feudal duration at any point in one season. And three of those notorious droughts belong to the 76ers. not a list you want to be on.
Not a pretty situation. I promised you three wins by the end of the calendar year. That was after they got their first one in early December. So they'll need to win two of their four road games before the new year begins. They have games in Milwaukee this evening, plus Phoenix, Utah, and Sacramento. Now, the good news, all of those teams are under 500. The bad news, every one of them is still better than the 76ers, and they're all road games for the Sixers. So it's going to be tough sledding for sure. Now, I do like the additions of Colangelo, whom we discussed last week, and D'Antoni. And now there's also talk the Sixers will bring in a veteran player or two, like John Lucas III, who's 33, or 32-year-old power forward center Chuck Lucas, both of whom are available. They're free agents. They're available. They could probably be a positive influence on the many young tykes on this team. Remember, all of the current Sixers are between 19 and 24, so doing something like that would make some sense. But, yeah, it's not a great situation. They're not fun to watch right now. You know, the last two seasons I thought they were kind of fun to watch because, yeah, they were trying hard, but they were also in a lot of games. Now they're in some games, but I think the opponents know that they can just turn it on in the third and fourth quarter and, you know, win almost 99% of the time against this club. So you pretty much know the outcome every time they go out there. And beyond the two Twin Towers, there's just not a whole lot to watch on this team. I mean, TJ McConnell, whatever his name is, he stinks. He's a turnover machine. Stauskas hasn't shot well, and the last few games he hasn't shot at all. He's just been like gun shy. So they really need help at the guard position. Tony Roten, when he came back, I thought he would help a lot. He's been poor. He's been turning it over a lot, and he's just not looking good. I don't know if he's not healthy yet or what, but this team has a lot of problems, and I may have been overly optimistic when I said they'd have three wins by the end of the calendar year, and they're certainly not going to win 25 or 26 on the season. Now we still have to worry about that futility record, the 9-73 team. Will they do better than that? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a real good chance they're not going to make that. You know, I can see them being 1-33 here at the new year, and you know, it's not going to get any better after that that I can see.
Yep.
Well, it's you know, I saw a piece the other day where the commissioner actually expressed that he's not happy with the Sixers' plan. It's the first time I've seen that. You know, this costs the league money, and it kind of makes a joke out of the whole thing. It's not good. It's not good for the game.
No, it isn't. And I didn't see the piece, but Jerry Colangelo was on ESPN, I guess, on Monday, and I read part of what he said, and he basically said that it's his impression that there's not a lot of basketball smart guys in the Sixers front office. Now, I don't know who exactly he's referring to, you know, Scott O'Neill or maybe Hinkie himself, but he said there's not a whole lot of basketball-wise guys in the Sixers executive offices. So hopefully his addition will help turn things in the right direction. We all know that, you know, next June is crucial, this draft where they could have 3 first-round picks, potentially 2 in the first 4 or 5. That's going to be a key. If they don't turn things around in June, boy, they may never be good again.
You're right. Well, I think we might have a answer to our trivia question. So let's bring our caller on. Who we got?
Hello.
Hello.
It's Google Danny. It looks like it's Google Danny.
It's Deathbed Danny.
How you feeling, Danny?
I'm up and down, kind of. Not too bad right now.
Good.
Glad you're on the road to recovery anyway.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm getting there.
All right. Do you have an answer to our trivia question tonight?
Well, I do, and and you were right. Well, I had to Google that one. Anybody who knew that one off the top of their head is a stat machine, let me tell you.
You know what?
I didn't know that one.
So what's your guess?
All right, go ahead. Tell us the answer.
One.
The answer is 1. You are correct, Danny Bevins.
He's correct.
So you will be the winner of the...
Again.
Again. You will be the winner again.
I can't help myself.
No, I hear you.
Adding to your collection.
If nobody wants to call in and get them, you going to.
That's right. That's right. I challenge anybody.
All right. Hey, real quick, because we got to get going pretty quick. What's your prediction for Saturday night?
If they weren't so banged up in the secondary, I wouldn't have any problem at all picking the Eagles. But because they are, and it was actually enlightening to hear that Rowe is at least going to play. Eric Rowe is going to play. But,
yeah.
And I don't know if it's as big a loss losing Maxwell or not, to be honest. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm going to say it's going to be tough. I mean, it's 50-50 flip a coin. My heart tells me to take the Eagles, but my head's kind of tugging the other way. That's all I'm going to say about that.
There you go. All right, Danny. Well, hey, we appreciate it, and we'll get this package out to you right quick, okay?
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Feel better.
Appreciate it, and love your show.
Right.
Thank you.
Get well soon, and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. You guys too. All you guys and your families, have a nice Christmas.
Thanks, Danny.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Chet, this week's winner of the Philly Press Box Radio Pick'em Pool is one of Danny's pools, actually, but it's his son-in-law, Sean Morris, and Sean has now won 2 weeks in a row, and we have Sean with us tonight, and you know, Sean's pool won 15 out of 16 games, with the only loss being the Thursday night game, and then he ran off 15 in a row. So, Sean, congratulations, welcome to the show, and tell us how you did it.
Oh, it was easy. It was an easy week for Pick'em. I could have got a perfect score, but I changed that Thursday night game at the last minute.
I'll tell you what, perfect score would be pretty impressive. I'm pretty impressed at 15-1, and I thought I did pretty good sitting there at 11-4. I thought I had a good week, or 12-4, but not so much.
Yeah, wait till next week.
Uh-oh.
Okay,
I'm
well, hey.
Perfect the next 4 weeks.
Okay.
Weeks,
all right,
weeks.
Well, maybe you can catch the old man then.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's easy. He's already going to pick the Eagles, so that's one loss.
Right, right. Well, hey, tell us what's your prediction. What's your prediction for the Eagles Redskins game this week?
Redskins by 3. It's going to be a close.
Redskins
one.
By 3. Hmm.
By
interesting.
3.
Okay, high scoring, low scoring.
We'll feel it. High scoring. 40.
High scoring. Okay.
40-43.
Wow. Whoa. Wow. Okay.
It'll be fun to watch
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
Very good.
All right, Sean.
Very good. Well, Sean, we appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on a great week. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we are sorry that you're related to Danny Bevins.
Thank you. You too, man.
Take care.
Okay. Thanks, Sean.
All right.
Hey, Chet. Now that we have 15 weeks in the books, and, you know, we kid with Danny, but he's a good guy and a great supporter of our show. But, you know, he's starting to open up a gap, Chet, and he has a 3-game lead over you, Mr. Chesko, who is now in sole possession of second place, followed by Terry House, who's a game behind. And Terry had his worst week of the season. What a bad time to have it. It really cost him. Jimmy Wilson's 5 back. Ed Chambers is 6 back. That's probably about as far back as going to have a chance if there is one at this point. So just 2 weeks to go, Chet. You've got 3 games to make up if you're going to overtake Danny. And Danny's been hot every week. He's been consistent.
He has. Yeah, he's consistent. I'll give him that. I need to polish my crystal ball and look at each and every game more closely than usual in hopes of catching Danny B. It'll be tough, but I'm certainly going to do my very best.
Got to go with your head instead of your heart.
It's funny you
all
say
right,
that.
Well, hey, I wouldn't go ahead.
When I get to my prediction, I'm going to talk about that whole head and heart thing. So hang in there.
Okay. Well, I wanted to hit up on one more topic before we get towards the end here. And that was the season of Temple Owls football program. You know, I know the season didn't end quite the way Matt Rule would have liked it. But there's excitement in college football in Philadelphia, and it's the Temple Owls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the season didn't end well with losses in the conference championship and the Boca Raton Bowl, but still a 10-win season, lots of excitement for the kids up on North Broad Street. They have a lot to be proud of, a real great season for the Temple Owls.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to see how this next recruiting class comes out. All this activity, publicity, game day, all that kind of stuff, bowl games, that's all good for recruiting. And, you know, there's a new coach at Maryland. There's a new coach at Rutgers. Some places, you know, that are hotbeds for recruiting. And I think a real good chance that Matt Rule is going to get locked into some of those areas and start really bringing in some more quality kids.
Yeah, I'm really glad he's coming back. I mean, he's
yeah,
a good
oh,
coach, a great guy.
Too.
Glad he's coming back, and hopefully he will have a good recruiting class.
Yep, and we have to also shout out to Tyler Matakevich for winning a national award. What a great honor for a Temple kid. That, you know, who would have thought anything coming out of Temple and, you know, clear out of the blue, and he's winning Defensive Player of the Year honors.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll get drafted. I wonder what his outlook is as far as being an NFL player. I hope it works out. He's a real likable guy, too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he was. He is, and he would look good in green.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Christmas is here, but good day for last-minute shopping, Chet. Tomorrow, you got to get to it if you haven't done it. No better place to pick up a piece of Philadelphia sports memorabilia, autographs, or sports cards in the Delaware Valley than Carl's Cards and Collectibles. You name it, there's a chance Carl has it. So, Chet, if you're out and about tomorrow, Christmas Eve, stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 Eagle Road in Havertown, PA, and visit with Santa Claus at the same time.
Sounds good to me.
You free? All right.
Not tomorrow.
Hey,
no.
If you have something that people have something that they want to get, Obviously, it's probably too late to mail, but you can give Carl a call at 610-789-4996 to see if he has it, or on his website, carlscards.com, or contact him on Twitter at carlscards. He's got everything, and I know he's had a heck of a holiday season there, but he's still got all kinds of things that he's got for sale for all Philadelphia sports fans. And Chet, Carl has also lined up a few signings, and, you know, as we mentioned earlier, December 24th, tomorrow, noon to 3, the big man himself, Santa Claus, in the store. Current Eagles wide receiver, and one of your favorite players, I think, Chet, Josh Huff, although not mine. He will be signing December the 28th. Our friend, the Invincible, Vince Papale, will be in the store January the 9th. Eagles Hall of Famer Pete Retzlaff and Maxie Bond will be in the store January 16th. Great autographs to get for any Eagles fan, Chet. Again, stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown. Chet, any of these guys on your list?
Well, I'm not going to go see Josh Huff because I might say something that would get me in trouble. So I'm not going to go see Josh. But I do hope to get there on the 9th to say hello to our pal Vince. And as I mentioned previously on our show, Pete Retzlaff was one of my favorite Eagles when I first started watching football back in the mid-60s. Yeah, I'm that old. So his appearance on the 16th is another possibility.
Very good. Well, I'm lined up. I've got a bunch of Pete Retzlaff stuff, but I'm getting lined up for some major Vince Papale additions to my collection. And I have a couple small things, but I'm ready to go big on Vince. And also, I've got a little Maxie Bond, but I'm going to get a little bit more. As you know, I'm a huge fan of Maxie Bond. So
yes, I know.
Looking
that.
Forward to that.
Yep.
Yep. So we looked somewhat smart again last week with our predictions. I think you picked 31-17 Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I picked 34-21 Cardinals. The score ended up 40-17. We were in the neighborhood. We knew we pretty much knew it wasn't going to be close, but I think it was a little further than we were hoping for. So let's see how smart we are this week in this must-win game on Saturday night at the Link against the Redskins. Time's yours.
I'm really, really struggling with this one, Bill, even more than usual, because I'm in first place in the Pick'em League that I run, and as you noted, I'm in second place in your Pick'em League, and I really need to get this one right. This is one of those situations, though, and we talked about this, and Danny mentioned it, where my heart is still telling me the Eagles will finally play that great game and keep their playoff hopes alive, but my head is saying the opposite, and that they're just not good enough to beat a Redskins team that's playing pretty well right now. But, you know, sometimes the heart gets what the heart wants. So I'm going to go with my heart and probably regret it by about 9:30 Saturday night. But I'm saying Eagles 24, Redskins 20.
Wow. Have you been hitting the early eggnog?
Well, I mentioned on Facebook yesterday that I got some vodka for a Secret Santa gift, and I had some last night and right before our show tonight, so I'll blame the vodka.
I will say you must be blaming the vodka, because I'll tell you what, I don't see this Eagle defense stopping anybody. You know, certainly I'm going to root for them because I know, but, you know, that's really not the truth. I really want them to win. I just don't see it happening. And this offense that Washington's got put together is playing good ball. They have great receivers. Deshaun Jackson is going to be on top of his game. You know, certainly the Eagles will be fired up. It's a home game and it's a must win, but it's a must win for the Redskins too. So there's no reason to expect them to come in here flat. I think the Redskins are going to score a lot of points. I just don't know if the Redskins are capable of stopping the Eagles that much. We'll find out about that. But if the Eagles can't run the ball, it really doesn't matter. And they just aren't able to run the ball. And it's week in and week out. They don't do very well at it. And if you don't run the ball, you don't usually win the game. So I am going to go 34-17 Redskins.
Wow. Well, I'm hoping that what Brandon said and Ray Dittinger and some others said will hold true, and that the Redskins are not real good on the road. And, in fact, they haven't won a whole lot of games over real good teams this year. Yeah, they've played pretty well, but they're not a good road team, and I'm hoping that the fans at the Link get energized on this Saturday night nationally televised game and carry the Eagles to a win. I know that logic dictates that the Skins are going to win this one, and you should not bet with your heart, but I'm just going to say the Eagles are going to somehow pull this out, and I hope I'm right.
Well, I hope you're right, too. But you know what? The Eagles aren't a very good team either.
No,
so
that's true.
That's one thing. And the other thing about the fans, and this was disheartening for me. It's not the fans' fault, but on Sunday night, they were fired up. The fans were fired up, ready to go. And Carson Palmer goes back and launches a bomb on the first play that if John Brown wasn't sleepwalking out there, it's 7-0 about 8 seconds into the game.
Yeah.
And I think the writing was on the wall pretty quick because Palmer turned around, drove right down the field anyway, touchdown. The fans were no longer a factor in that game, and certainly not the fans' fault. They came ready to play, but the team didn't.
No, but I'm still hoping that they're going to play that one great game. Maybe it'll come Saturday night.
All right. I hope you're right. I'll be rooting, but I hope you're right. Hey, we have time for about a second parting shot if you have one. I am still not going to have one because I'm still holding one.
I got one. If you're a fan of Seinfeld, and that is one of my favorite all-time sitcoms, you know that December 23rd is Festivus, a holiday that includes feats of strength and airing of grievances. Well, as a Philadelphia sports fan, I have a lengthy list of grievances in this year, 2015, as it winds down. For example, giving Chip Kelly GM powers last winter. How's that working out? Including a second-round draft pick in the trade of Nick Foles for Sam Bradford. I want the 2013 version of Kiko Alonso. The 2015 version has stunk it up. Why is Ryan Howard still a Philly? That's a grievance. And, yeah, Sam Hinkie. Sam, the process is really looking scary right now. The 2016 draft could change things. I know. We hope it does. But right now, this Sixers team, even with a couple of Twin Towers that have talent, is unwatchable. Happy Festivus.
Wow. Well, all I can do, Chet, is say my comment to your parting shot will be if we are doing a year-end show next week after an Eagles loss, I think we'll have to have about a 30-minute parting shot for you to get all this out of your system.
It's been a rough year in Philly sports.
It is. It is. And you know what? But there's a bright future ahead.
We can hope.
That's it. Well, hey, as we get to the top of the hour, we want to thank Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of the show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes. Our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. And wish all of you, all of them, and especially you, Mr. Chesko, and your family a very Merry Christmas.
Oh, and the same to you and yours, Bill. It's been a good year, and I hope everybody enjoys the holiday season.
In spite of some football that we haven't been happy with and some other sports things we haven't been happy with, there's an awful lot of good things that have gone on to be thankful about. So let's look at it that way.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Focus on the positive.
For Jim Chesko, this is Bill Furman. Hoping you enjoyed the Christmas edition show. And we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, December 30th at 7 p.m. to hopefully talk about an Eagles victory. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio, and now on both iTunes and Stitcher. Merry Christmas and high hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
Simply, we're from Philadelphia and we fight. That's it. If there's a game on, we're playing. End of story.